on behalf of all of the priests, deacons, religious, and lay faithful of the Diocese of Bismarck, as well as my brother bishops of the province of St. Paul and Minneapolis, I offer to Bishop Zipfel's family, his brother Ralph and his family, and all of his relatives, our heartfelt and sincere sympathies. Our prayers are for Bishop's eternal rest and peace, and for your consolation and peace, which only our faith and our hope in the resurrection can give. I also want to express in the name of all in the Diocese of Bismarck and in my own name, our sincere gratitude to the Zipfel family for sharing with us their son and brother, Paul. I'm truly grateful to Archbishop Hebda, our Metropolitan, to Bishop Fulda, to Bishop Serba, to Bishop Kettler, and to Bishop Swain for their presence with us today. You honor us, and more so, the fond memory of our beloved Bishop Zipfel. Thank you. While there are so many others to thank for their loving care for Bishop Zipfel, I am afraid I will forget to mention all of you, and so I thank you, one and all. But I do want to thank personally Teresa Mazur and Monsignor Lindemann for their very faithful care and service to Bishop Zipfel in his retirement and as his health declined. On June 12th, when we received word that Bishop Zipfel's condition had worsened, and before he left for St. Louis the next day, Monsignor Lindemann showed me the letter of instructions the bishop had written. His instructions were brief and to the point, and as always, humble. Bishop Zipfel was very clear that for his funeral mass, he did not want any eulogy. He wants a sermon on the priesthood. That in itself speaks volumes about him as a priest for over 58 years and a bishop for over 30 years. He knew so very well that his life as a priest and a bishop was not about him, but about Jesus and his church. So I shall do my best not to make this what Bishop Zipfel did not want, but what he did want: an affirmation of the priesthood of Jesus Christ, so necessary for the life and holiness of the church and the world. As I speak of the sacrament of holy orders in its three degrees, keep in your minds and in your hearts Paul Zipfel, a deacon, a priest, and a bishop. Our Holy Catholic Church teaches us that the sacrament of holy orders is at the service of communion and is directed to the salvation of others as well as the one ordained. It says that those who receive the sacrament of holy orders are consecrated in Christ's name to feed the church by the word and grace of God. As we all learned as children, there are three sacraments instituted by Christ which are received only once in a lifetime and which imprint on one's soul an indelible mark for all time and eternity: baptism, confirmation, and holy orders. In each of these sacraments, the recipient is anointed with sacred chrism and consecrated for a life of holiness and virtue, for a life as a missionary disciple of Christ, and for a life of teaching, sanctifying, and shepherding others in the name and in the person of Christ. Bishop Zipfel received these three sacraments and lived them among us and for us in his prayers, good works, and many sacrifices. Our Catholic Church describes holy orders in this way. Holy orders is the sacrament through which the mission entrusted by Christ to his apostles continues to be exercised in the church until the end of time. Thus, it is the sacrament of apostolic ministry. This means that a man ordained a deacon and then a priest and a bishop has a direct attachment to Jesus Christ, since it is Jesus who consecrated his apostles, the first priests, at the Last Supper and handed on to them his ministry to be exercised and to be continued in the world. Saint Ignatius of Antioch, one of the great apostolic fathers of the church, already describes the sacrament of holy orders in the second century, and it exists in this way to this day. He said, "Let everyone revere the deacons as Jesus Christ, the bishop as the image of the Father, and the presbyters as the Senate of God and the assembly of the apostles, for without them one cannot speak of the church." The great Thomas Aquinas speaks of the ordained priest in that intimate relationship with Christ. He said, "Christ is the source of all priesthood. The priest of the old law was a figure of Christ, and the priest of the new law acts in the person of Christ." In the church's rite of ordination of a deacon, after the man has been ordained and kneels before the bishop, who speaking for the church hands him the book of the gospel and proclaims for all to hear, receive the gospel of Christ, whose herald you have become. Believe what you read, teach what you believe, and practice what you teach. The ordained is the public herald of Christ, who is the Lord, our Savior, and the servant of sacrificial love. In order to be true to his new dignity as the herald of the gospel, the ordained must believe because of his personal encounter and experience of Jesus. This belief allows him to teach the gospel, and he teaches best by living and practicing in thought, word, and deed what he believes. Bishop Zipfel lived his diaconal charism of loving service among and for us, both in his preaching and his daily works. And through all of that, he made Christ present. When the ordained deacon, now the public herald of the gospel of Christ, receives ordination to the priesthood of Jesus Christ, he brings to this moment all that he is as a deacon. This forms the firm foundation for his further consecration in Christ and for his church. The end of the rite of ordination of a priest, the newly ordained priest, whose heart is now intimately conformed to the heart and person of Jesus, kneels before the bishop, who, acting and speaking for the church, anoints his hands with sacred chrism and says for all to hear, "The Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Father anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, guard and preserve you, that you may sanctify the Christian people and offer sacrifice to God." And immediately the bishop, again speaking for the church, places in the anointed hands of the priest, who is now not only the herald of the gospel, but the sanctifier of all who hear the gospel, the bread and wine to be offered for the forgiveness of sins and the sanctification of the people. The bishop says, "Receive the oblation of the holy people to be offered to God. Understand what you do. Imitate what you celebrate, and conform your life to the mystery of the Lord's cross." So now the priest is not only to believe what he reads, to teach what he believes, and to practice what he teaches. He is to incorporate all of this into his very life and person, so that he is a real living icon of Jesus Christ in every aspect of his life, but most especially at the altar. As Jesus is the priest, the altar, and the lamb of sacrifice, so the priest who acts in his person understands that it is Jesus who is the source and summit of our lives. It is Jesus who is the way, the truth, and the life. And the priest is the one to show and lead others to the Father through Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. The priest does this by that obedience of faith which impels him to conform his life to the mystery of the Lord's cross. Bishop Zipfel did this among us and for us with a humble and a grateful joy. He made evident his love for Christ, the church, and the priesthood. In his later years, he helped us to understand why he was striving to conform his life to the mystery of the Lord's cross, and also why we need to do the same. At the end of the instruction in the rite of ordination of a bishop, the principal ordaining bishop exhorts the bishop elect in these words: "And so, keep watch over the whole flock, in which the Holy Spirit appoints you to govern the church of God, in the name of the Father, whose image you represent in the church, and in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, whose office of teacher, priest, and shepherd you will discharge, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the church of Christ, and by his power strengthens us in our weakness." The newly ordained bishop kneels before the principal ordaining bishop, who pours sacred chrism on his head, and then holds over his head the book of the gospel, now being literally overshadowed by Christ. And he says, "May God, who has made you a sharer in the high priesthood of Christ, himself pour out upon you the oil of mystical anointing and make you fruitful with an abundance of the spiritual blessings." And then he says, "Receive the gospel and preach the word of God with all patience and sound teaching." Thus, the herald of the gospel of Christ, who acting in the person of Christ is the sanctifier of God's people, is now the one chosen as the chief shepherd of that portion of God's holy people entrusted to his care. The bishop's ring and mitre are the visible signs of his interior and complete fidelity to Christ and his church and his holiness of life. The last sign of his having received the fullness of the priesthood is the bishop's crozier. He is handed the crozier with the exhortation: "Receive the crozier, the sign of your pastoral office, and keep watch over the whole flock in which the Holy Spirit has placed you as bishop to govern the church of God." As a priest is to his parish, so a bishop is to his diocese. He is to be the living, beating, and loving heart of the body of Christ, which he serves after the merciful heart of Jesus. Bishop Zipfel did this with a courageous and joyful faith, hope, and charity. He helped all entrusted to his care to discover the true and lasting joy of the faith, the joy of being loved personally by God the Father, who offered his Son for our salvation. Today, we celebrate with profound gratitude to Almighty God, His eternal gift of the high priesthood of Jesus Christ, as lived so faithfully by His good servant, Bishop Paul Zipfel, deacon, priest, and bishop, according to the mysterious and loving will of God. We see all around us, not just in this cathedral church, but across the Diocese of Bismarck, the fruits of his labors. I know Bishop Zipfel won't get mad at me if I digress just for a moment. The first full week that I was Bishop of Bismarck, after all of the beautiful ceremonies of ordination, installation, moving into a new diocese, he and I went to lunch, and in the course of the lunch, I think it's the only time I let him do this, he insisted on paying for lunch. I said, no, I want to take you to lunch. He said, no, I'm older than you are. I'll pay for lunch. Okay. But we had a wonderful conversation, and I asked him, I said, Bishop, what advice can you give me? And you know, all who knew him, of course, they had that nice smile. And he smiles and he says, well, you don't need any advice from me. I said, yeah, I really do. He said, okay, do this. Be faithful to your prayers and Mass every day. Whatever's on your schedule, do your best with it. And leave the rest in the hands of God. And again he smiled and he said, I want to tell you one more thing. I said, what's that? He said, don't ever forget, no bishop that I know has ever batted 1,000. And believe me, he's correct. After he paid the bill, he took something else out of his wallet and he said, here, you keep this, put it in your wallet. And, you know, all right, thank you. I did, and we left. He went back to his home out at the University of Mary. I came back here to the Chancery. And I didn't give it another thought until that night. And it dawned on me, I never looked at what he gave me. So I took it out, and it was a little something that Mother Teresa, now St. Teresa of Calcutta, said once, I guess asked by someone what would she consider to be her greatest success. The quote was simply this, God does not look for us to be successful. He wants us to be faithful. I hope and pray I have done what our good bishop wanted. As we pray for his eternal rest and peace, our faith and hope help us know that he continues to pray for us in eternity as he did so constantly for us in time. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed rest in peace.
Amen.
Praised be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.